T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Austin Roos is the president for the Center for Family and Human Rights. He's with us this morning. I understand, Austin, that you've got a new book out called Under Siege, No Finer Time to Be a Faithful Catholic. What is a faithful Catholic these days? Because it doesn't seem to be a real standard that's applied.
Well, certainly not from the White House. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of folks out there who are trying real hard to live the teachings of the Catholic faith and other Christian denominations as well. Mm-hmm. But your point well taken. There's a lot of dissent out there from the highest office in the land down to the Virginia State House and on down to the local school board.
Well, what do you do when you talk to people who are men and women of faith who would like to be committed to their faith, but they're torn about whether their faith should inform public policy? I think that's a practical issue, a philosophical issue, a theological debate. It's not new in our time, but how are you threading that needle?
Well, you know, that's a very good question, because people have the impression that they may not bring their faith to the public square because of this expansive notion of the separation of church and state. And the founders never intended that faith would be out of the public square, would be out of the state house. People of faith, they have always anticipated, and we've always lived this way, that people of faith can bring their faith into the public square, into the public debate. So, it's kind of funny. I mean, I often joke about, you'll see some sort of sign in a business's yard, and I always joke, don't they know about the separation of church and state? As if the role of religion cannot be brought to bear anywhere, mm-hmm. and not just in the political debate. And that's how expansive it has become. And I deal with this in my book Under Siege. I deal with it actually quite extensively, and I argue that there is now an established religion, and it's not Christianity. And you can see it in how the Virginia State House is imposing the trans ideology on every school in the state of Virginia, and this is unfolding as we speak. And this is a new religion, and it certainly is not Christianity. It's not Catholicism. It is something else.
The trans issue is so bizarre to me. It affects such a small group of people, and it does require a total suspension of factual acknowledgement of fact. I mean, I've talked about it on air that I'm willing to work with anybody with their feelings. If you have feelings, I try to be respectful of other people. They have done that for me. I mean, I don't know if you know this coming on the air. I'm a gay Republican, and people have been very nice to me, and I know that they don't necessarily agree with some things that I would advocate, but they have been polite, and I appreciate it. But one of the things that I talk about is I'm not trying to get you to change your standards. I'm not trying to lie to you or have you lie to my face to appease me. And I'm a big boy. If you disagree with things, I can have a conversation. I just want to live my life as I'd like to. The trans movement seems to expect me to suspend what I know to be fact. I mean, scientific fact.
That's right.
In order to appease someone else's feelings. And I hate to be a jerk about it, but I got to draw the line there. I can't do that.
Well, you know, the trans ideology requires a very aggressive public stance on behalf of governments who must impose it. In New York City, for instance, for persistently misgendering somebody,
right,
you can
yeah.
be fined upwards of $250,000.
Wow.
And they are teaching this to little children in Fairfax County's school system where I live. Mm-hmm. So it does require a suspension of our understanding of facts and science. And that makes it religion. This yeah. is a new faith that requires the heavy hand of government, in this case, to force you to accept this belief. You know, I've written quite a bit about this, and not just in this book, but there are gay and lesbian writers who are complaining that, you know, that girls that play with trucks these days are now automatically assumed to be, quote, trans. And the gay and lesbian writers are saying, hey, why can't she grow up to be a lesbian like she wants to?
Right. Well, how did this happen, Austin? I mean, I clearly with my situation, I've been around this movement, if you want to. I mean, I didn't really choose to, but I've been around a lot of these folks, political activists, pushing for gay marriage and other issues for decades. And yeah. I am stunned that this has suddenly taken off and has become mainstream. And even someone like me, I get hate email from people trying to get me thrown off the radio for expressing my opinion, as if I'm some sort of crazy, knuckle dragging Neanderthal, you know, who's living in a world that's 500 years old. I just can't believe it. Where did this come
from?
Well,
you know, I would say, you know, hats off to both the gay rights advocates who brought gay marriage to the Supreme Court in record time. I mean, it was really quite remarkable going from nowhere to everywhere so rapidly. But see, when that happened, there wasn't that was basically the whole ball of wax for you know the gay elite, and so they needed another issue to keep all of this kind of thing on the boil. In my previous book, Fake Science, I went into the New York Times and I counted the number of times that the word transgender was used prior to the Obergefell decision. And it was hardly ever used except within the context of LGBT. As a standalone issue, it simply wasn't mentioned.
Right.
When Obergefell happened, it went off like a rocket to something like 700 mentions in the year 2016 in the New York Times.
Wow.
And this means a couple of times a day. And it was mentioned in virtually any kind of story.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a brilliant move on behalf of those who believe in this particular sexual ideology. And it has become dominant. It is really very profound. And I'm on social media debating with some people over the last couple of days about this new term called cishet. Do you know this term, cishet?
I don't.
Cishet means that I'm cisgender and heterosexual, and therefore I'm cishet. I conform to what my body is, and I'm heterosexual. So I am now cishet. And that's kind of, cisgender is now the opposite of transgender. So there are all these new categories that they're making us all learn. And if you reject them, of course, what are you? You're a hater.
Right. I just don't understand why decent, good people who would like to live and, you know, not out picking fights with their neighbors, why are we being so compliant about this? And silent, especially for, you know, I don't have kids in school, so I don't feel it's my place to go pick a fight with the school board here in Henrico County or around the state. But I'm just shocked that a lot of parents aren't willing to fight over this or haven't been willing to fight so far.
You know, when all of this broke at the Fairfax County School District now a couple of years ago, this thing called Family Life Education, which is, you know, sort of very advanced radical sex ed, hardly any parents turned out to fight it. My wife was among them and her friends, and they went to the school board meeting every 2 weeks to talk about this. And they did for about a year. But the school board has so much power, and there were only two votes on the school board against this. Mm-hmm. And they lost both of their elections the next time around. So, yeah, it is quite remarkable. And, you know, there are lots of Asians, for instance, who tend to be conservative here in Northern Virginia, lots of Muslims, and nobody showed up. You know, I think that a lot of it has to do with people are afraid of losing their jobs.
Yeah. They've weaponized this. There's no question about it. It's going to take some brave people to aggressively push back. And again, I don't think that makes you a bigot. I think it means that you're not going to just let your culture be completely hijacked without having something to say about it. And I appreciate you talking to us. Austin, I got to run, but we'll have you back on, and I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you. Austin Roos, you can find his book, Under Siege, No Finer Time to Be a Faithful Catholic, right now. Thanks, Austin.
Many thanks.